read from John 19 this morning, picking up our reading at verse 25, and then we'll read through verse 10 of chapter 20. I won't reread the text, so pay attention to verses 5 through 9 of John chapter 20. Before we read, I want to try to impress upon you the need to view yourselves this morning as witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not eyewitnesses, but witnesses, so that we didn't see it with our eyes, but now the Holy Spirit gives us the scriptures and the testimony of the eyewitnesses and gives us the wonder of faith. And now I fear that I'm not going to be able to explain this so that everyone can understand it, but that's because this is a mystery. And if you have the faith of the Holy Spirit, the faith of God, you will understand something of this, even though we always struggle and would like to understand more. But if you have faith, there's a sense in which you say, yes, I am a witness. I know that Jesus died, that he was buried, but I am a witness. I know he is not dead. He is alive. And now let me add to that. There's a sense then in which the experience of the women and the disciples is ours. So now think about that. If you had been an eyewitness like the women or like the disciples, and you saw Jesus die on Friday, and then you saw the empty grave clothes, and you saw the appearances of Jesus for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, can you imagine a day going by that you didn't marvel at that? I witnessed a man die and rise again. And then this, can you imagine a day going by that you didn't want to tell other people of the greatest wonder that any human being has ever seen? Think about yourself, think about someone else you know, who when they have these awe-inspiring experiences, it can be something like Friday night going out of church and seeing the sky and wanting others to see the sky and telling them about how beautiful it was. All right, that's trivial, isn't it? Now think of yourself this way, as someone who God has privileged to witness the resurrection of the man Jesus Christ from the dead. And now here's the challenge for me and for you. There really shouldn't be a day that we don't think about how amazing that is. And there shouldn't be a day that we don't want to tell others. Forget about the sky. Forget about what you might have seen on Sunday, these unbelievers who maybe saw some athletic feat. I know of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, let's listen to this account of Jesus' death and resurrection. We begin in verse 25 of chapter 19. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his home, his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. And I pause there. Notice 100 pound weight of myrrh and aloes and spices. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went in to the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Thus far we read the word of God tonight, this morning, paying attention to verses 5 through 9 here of John chapter 20. And our attention is called to the grave clothes in this passage. We don't read about the appearance of an angel here to testify to the disciples. We focus our attention on the grave clothes. There is also the 40 days in which Jesus appeared to his disciples, so that would be eyewitness testimony to them of the truth and the reality of his resurrection. But here it's the grave clothes that are empty that serve as the eyewitness testimony. The disciples and later the women too could see these grave clothes. And the testimony of these grave clothes is Jesus, who was crucified on Friday, is no longer dead. He is alive. And there were two reasons, especially why God wanted there to be eyewitnesses, those who could see with their eyes evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One was so that they would believe. That's the testimony of all of the gospel accounts, that the followers of Jesus Christ did not believe that he would rise again. They believed in Jesus. They loved Jesus. That was true of the women. But the women were going to the cemetery when it was yet dark that Sunday morning because they believed that Jesus would be there in the place of the dead, believing he was dead. And so they were upbraided by the angel, according to Matthew and Luke, saying, "Why seek ye the dead, the living Jesus among the dead? He is risen as he said." The women didn't believe that. They didn't believe the testimony of Jesus. And so they needed this eyewitness testimony, these evidences that they could see with their eyes to be eyewitnesses, to believe that Jesus was not dead but living. And the disciples were in the same camp. They were spread out. They were not joyful. They were fearful. They were afraid that they, having their leader arrested and crucified, might be next. The Jews and the Romans might come after them. And they didn't have the joy, they didn't have the happiness of the belief, the faith that Jesus is risen again. So they needed these evidences that they could see with their eyes, and then the Lord strengthened their faith, confirmed their faith. Jesus is not dead, he is risen. So that, first of all, was very important for why God wanted there to be eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. But secondly, God wanted there to be eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus so that they would tell others. That's what John says here in John chapter 20 later on. We've recorded these things. We were witnesses to these things. Basically, so that starting in Jerusalem and then going throughout Judea and Galilee and the whole world, we could tell everyone, everywhere about this Jesus, that he's the Savior who was crucified and is risen. So, though not every generation of believer is able to say, "I'm an eyewitness, I've seen these things with my eye," this testimony has been handed down generation after generation, meaning we are witnesses. And though we cannot see with our eyes, what we find in the text is the important thing is to see with the spiritual eye of faith. We're going to come to that. The one that Jesus loved not only saw with his eyes, but he believed. You believe, then you are a witness. And yes, it is our duty as witnesses of the resurrection to tell men and women everywhere, our children, about this Jesus who is the Savior who died and rose again the third day. So let's pay heed to this word and be witnesses this morning to the empty grave clothes. And bear testimony that these grave clothes prove Jesus is risen. We consider this morning Jesus' empty grave clothes, first of all, the fact, secondly, the meaning, and then thirdly, the testimony. The fact, the meaning, the testimony that we see now in the empty grave clothes of Jesus. Let's start with verses 1 and 2, because the disciples, Peter and John, who ran to the tomb that Sunday morning, were spurred by Mary Magdalene. And we read of her in verses 1 and 2. And we know that she didn't see the empty grave clothes because she came with the other women. You can find them mentioned in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And she saw the stone rolled away. And I want to highlight that word "seeth" in verse 1. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." There's a Greek word there for "see" that indicates that she noticed this. This is something that she literally saw with her eye. She saw that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And then we know what conclusion she made. Her conclusion was not this: joy, the Lord is not dead, he's risen. Her conclusion was sorrow. Someone has taken up, picked up, and moved the body of my Lord. And so, verse 2 tells us, she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple John, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. This spurred the disciples to have that race. At least that's how I always pictured it when I was a young boy. Here go Peter and John running from wherever Mary Magdalene told them this story to the sepulchre. And what were they thinking about? Well, we remember that they were afraid that they were going to be arrested next. They might be put to death next. And so if they were thinking anything, it was probably something like this: this could be part of a plot to entrap us. Maybe they didn't hear about it until later, but we do know later on the Jews would start that wicked rumor, telling that lie that Jesus' body wasn't in the tomb because it was stolen by the disciples. Maybe they weren't thinking about that, but whatever they were thinking, we know that they were not thinking, this is great, Jesus is risen from the dead. No, they were thinking, there's something wrong, and we need to find out why the stone was rolled away, and we need to find out if this is true, where Jesus' body has been moved. And then we know that John, who was the last apostle to die, meaning he was probably the youngest of the apostles, maybe in his late 20s, early 30s at this point, that he ran faster than Peter, who was an older man. And then in verse 5, we read about John when he arrives, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Notice another word for seeing. He saw the linen clothes. It's the same word that you have in verse 1. This is just the fact that John saw something with his eyes. He noticed something. He could see the linen clothes in the grave. It looked like Jesus' body was still in the grave to John. Just looking from the outside, he could see the linen clothes that had been wrapped around the body of Jesus Christ, packed with the myrrh and the aloe, 100-pound weight, meaning that probably for 3 days, those linen clothes had kind of glued together, dried together, kind of like a hardened paper mache. So that they weren't laying flat necessarily, but it must have looked to John like Mary Magdalene was wrong. She saw the stone rolled away, but she didn't go and see the linen clothes so that she could see Jesus' body hasn't been taken up and it hasn't been moved. And so, seeing things just at a glance, John thinks Jesus is still in the tomb, dead. Then Peter comes. He's a little slower than John, but we know the character, the nature of Peter. It doesn't surprise us. He doesn't hesitate outside of the tomb. He goes right into the tomb, verses 6 and 7. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. And there's that English word seeth again, only this time in the Greek it's a totally different word. Now you don't need to know the Greek words, but just so that you have an understanding, in English we see he seeth or she seeth, he saw, he seeth, it sounds the same. But in the Greek, the first time it was Mary Magdalene blepo, John, the beloved disciple, blepo. Here, it's thaorao. It's a completely different word, meaning that now Peter, from his perspective in the tomb, can see and examine and observe more carefully what is going on. And verse 7 tells us what he saw, that Mary Magdalene for sure did not see, but John also did not see. And the napkin that was lying about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now we have no indication in the text that Peter at this point says, I understand what all of this means. Rather, Peter seems to be in a confused state. He sees more than John and Mary did. He sees there's something mysterious going on here. But what does this mean? And then, verse 8, went in also that other disciple, John, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, not blepo, not theoreo, a whole nother Greek word, harao, meaning he perceived, he understood, and believed. The linen clothes told John. Jesus hasn't been moved, but he also isn't still dead. He is alive. That's what verse 9 authoritatively tells us is the meaning of these empty grave clothes. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And you have to understand that even an unbeliever would have been able with his or her eyes to look at these grave clothes and say, there's something up here. Things don't add up here. There's something wrong. There's something mysterious. I can see that there are grave clothes here. And I don't know if that's the best way to explain it, but have you ever seen a paper mache around a balloon? And then the balloon is popped and removed from inside of that. That's what these grave clothes were like. They weren't torn in shreds. They weren't cut apart. There were these grave clothes laying there with the shape of the legs, the shape of the torso, the shape of the arms and the shoulders of Jesus. And the only opening in these grave clothes was a neck hole. But no body. And then this headcloth, this shroud, sitting neatly in a corner apart from the linen clothes. An unbeliever would have been able to see that, but wouldn't have been able to understand. John was looking with the eye of faith, a faith that was given to him by the Father, so that John was able to say, I know what this means. I'm not confused. I understand that Jesus is risen from the dead. And so the meaning is not that Jesus is still dead and that his body has been moved. We don't need to spend much time on that, but we can explain that very easily. If it were true that there were grave robbers afoot who had gone and somehow eluded the soldiers who were guarding the tomb, somehow had moved the stone, and then decided to take the body of Jesus, we know that they would have left as quickly as they could with the body and the linen clothes intact. And if for some reason grave robbers wanted to leave the linen clothes behind, first of all, it would have been impossible for them to slip the body of Jesus through that neck hole. Secondly, they would have never tried that. They would have simply torn those linen clothes, cut those linen clothes apart, and then taken the body of Jesus Christ. So that you cannot explain these empty grave clothes as evidence that someone has moved the body at all or evidence that Jesus is still dead. The testimony of John that he received from God working in his heart is that there's only one meaning of these empty grave clothes. Christ, the Lord, is risen. Hallelujah. He is not here because he who was dead is alive again. Now, Jesus told them that this was going to happen. This is emphasized, as I said before, by the angel in Matthew and in Luke. Listen to Luke 24, verses 6 and 7. This is the angel speaking to the women early in the morning. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. This was Jesus' word. But what we have here in John chapter 20 is not a repetition of what you find in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But we have the testimony that this was the word of God in the Old Testament. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And what is interesting about this is penned by the Apostle John later on under the inspiration of the Spirit, reflecting on what he saw and believed at that moment. At that moment he believed Jesus is not dead, he's risen. But reflecting on that, John came to understand, you know, this was declared by God already in the Old Testament scriptures by prophecy. And so we sang Psalm 16, verse 10. Beloved, you know it. This doesn't describe you, does it? That you didn't know it? You know it. You know what the Old Testament says, that God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. There it was, long ago, David saying, yes, this is true. The Messiah is going to come. He's going to suffer and die. But the Lord is going to raise him again from the dead. And if you read Isaiah 53 carefully, especially when you get to verses 10 and 11, you will recognize this is a great prophecy, a vision almost of Isaiah saying, I can see the suffering of Jesus Christ. I can see his suffering on the cross, even his crucifixion. But when you read carefully in Isaiah 53, you say, but I can detect here, the Lord is saying, he's going to be sacrificed, he's going to die, but he's going to live again. Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. God is going to give him life, prolong his days, and give him a great inheritance, dividing the spoils for Jesus Christ. And so, the meaning of the empty grave clothes is clear. Jesus Christ is risen to life. But there's more to it than that. These empty grave clothes not only tell us that Jesus Christ is alive again, they do not tell us that Jesus Christ is alive like you and I are alive this day. We are all living, and yet we are subject all of our days to death. And one day, we will die. In fact, though it is true to say we are living, it's more true to say of me and of all of you, even the young children today, we're dying. We do live under the shadow of death. But the empty grave clothes testify to us that's not true of Jesus Christ. On that resurrection Sunday when he rose from the dead, Jesus Christ didn't come back to life to be subject to death. He rose from the grave. He left the grave behind. He rose from those grave clothes. He rose from death, and he leaves all of these things behind. The grave clothes tell us this. If someone wound you like a paper mache, tightly with linen clothes, and some kind of ointment that would glue all of that together, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't last very long like that. And when you wanted to get out, how would you get out? You wouldn't be able to slither out of the little neck hole. You know what would have to happen. You'd have to be unwound. You'd have to be cut out. But Jesus did not need someone to unwrap him. And when you see that with the eye of faith, you're able to say there's something mysterious here, but I'm not confused. It's not that I don't know what this means. I know what it means. It means that Jesus Christ has risen to resurrection life, which is victorious life. He doesn't have a different body. He has the same body. That's the resurrection of the body. This body will be raised, but it's a new body. It's a glorious body. It's a heavenly body. It's different from the body that we have in this life, meaning that Jesus Christ is no longer humble. He is no longer the lowly, suffering servant of God. Jesus Christ is now the Son of God, declared to be the Son of God in the resurrection with power. He is the Lord now of life. He is the exalted Lord. He is the one now that everyone must bow before, humbly confessing he is the living Lord. Beloved, the wonder that we have to say we are witnesses of this morning is not merely this. And this would be a wonder. There was a man in the grave in the cemetery, and 3 days later, that man is alive. No, the wonder is, there was a man who on Friday died with a body like you and me. Not subject to sin the way our bodies are, but subject to the consequences of sin the way our bodies are. He died. He had a weak body, an earthly body. And now here's the wonder. That man is alive with an immortal, incorruptible, glorious body fit for heaven. But there is more that we must draw out here. For in telling us that Jesus is risen in his body to eternal life, the empty grave clothes are saying to you and me, remember the gospel. Remember the good news, not for Jesus. This isn't all just about Jesus. There is glory. There is good news here for Jesus, of course. But the gospel is the good news for sinners. This is God saying to you and me, remember Friday night? Remember Peter and John and Mary and believer, the grief that you have when you consider your sin and you consider the sacrifice that had to be made by Jesus Christ to pay for those sins? Well, God says through the empty grave clothes, I've raised him from the dead, meaning your sins have surely been paid for. If, no, Let me put it this way. The believer says, since God raised Jesus from the dead, it means he really paid for my sins. I go back to my comments before I read Scripture. This is something that you and I need to really think about spiritually so that we'll see the wonder of this. The unbeliever, you talk to him about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and he thinks nothing of it. He scoffs at it. He laughs at it. The believer says, this is a wonder. This is true. Jesus Christ was dead and he rose again. And then in connection with that, the believer says, wait a minute. This means that people who are sinners, people who are guilty before God, people who cannot possibly do anything to save themselves, have the payment for their sins through this Jesus Christ. And if you have faith to believe that, beloved, you'll say, what a wonder, not only 2,000 years ago, but what a wonder this morning, I'm a forgiven sinner. And since God raised Jesus from the dead, it means he's alive, but it means life for his church. It means life for his disciples. It means life for believers. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive to give us life. That's the idea of Revelation 1, verse 18. He has the keys of hell and of death. John 5, he says, God has given to the Son of Man the power of life. And we know Jesus had that power to lay down his life, to pick up his life again. But God has given to the Son of Man power to give life to whomsoever he wills to give life, so that you and I can say, Jesus is alive, yes, but I'm alive. And he makes me alive. He loves me. And he preserves me. And cares for me and his church. And since God has raised Jesus from the dead, we know that we too have victory over death. The empty grave clothes say to you and me today, believe that Jesus has risen in power over death, not only for him, but for you and for your loved ones, so that when you die, when your loved one dies, death doesn't overtake you, but your soul will go to heaven to be with him. And someday, this my body, someday your body, someday that body in the cemetery that is laid in a grave is going to come forth in the resurrection of the body by the power of Jesus Christ. And the believer is able to say, and I, body and soul, will be like Jesus and live forever in God's house of many mansions. Beloved, it's so hard for us to grasp what this means. We're going to have new bodies. This body that in a year changes so much, 10 years, 50 years, 80 years, becomes weak and frail, fit for a grave. It's going to be renewed with a body that is going to live eternally in heaven, in a home that will never decay. There's another picture, beloved, that we can grasp. Build a new house. In a year, it's not brand new anymore. 10 years, 30 years, this house needs to be renovated. To have a home in heaven. In our new heavenly bodies. Well, we can't hardly imagine that. But we'd be glory forever. That's what the empty grave clothes mean for you and me this morning. And now I ask you, do you believe all this? Are you a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you by faith understand and wonder at this reality of Jesus' resurrection and the good news of salvation for sinners? For a time, really only probably for a day, God used these empty grave clothes as his instrument to testify to the resurrection body and life of Jesus Christ. But those grave clothes are gone, and we don't know what happened to them. You don't read about them anywhere. No one talks about them anywhere in the world. Because God determined that he would use his word in the scriptures, but also that he would use his disciples and his church to be the witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to give testimony of the great things that we have seen and known. And maybe, I shouldn't say maybe, the reality is, you and I will never see like Mary Magdalene did, that stone rolled away from the tomb. And you and I will never see like John did when he stood outside of the tomb and he could see the linen wrappings for the body of Jesus. And you and I will never see like Peter did when he went into the tomb and he could see the linen clothes and he could see the head shroud for the head of Jesus Christ. But you and I can and do see as John saw when he believed. And here I do have to point you to what we read here in John chapter 20 in that last verse. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And then remember what is said in chapter 21 to Thomas. Ye have seen and believed. Blessed are those who, having not seen, believe. Meaning, beloved, that even though we live 2,000 years later, that doesn't make us one whit less the witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have seen the truth that Jesus Christ died and rose again, the truth that he paid for your sins, the truth that you have the hope of eternal life for your body as well as your soul, then you have seen the greatest thing that any human being could ever see. And then, yes, beloved, I do ask you, what do you do when you witness something amazing? Can you imagine? I can't. But can you imagine Peter or John or any of those women who on that day witnessed these great events going home and saying, I'm not going to talk to anyone about these things. I'm keeping it to myself. What unbelief. What dishonor to God. What dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't do that. They couldn't do that. This reality of what they had seen and witnessed burst forth from them. And they couldn't wait every day to tell their children, to tell their neighbor, to tell sinners. I know Jesus Christ, who died to pay for sins, who was buried, but he also rose again from the dead. Beloved, let's tell the whole world that we are witnesses to the most amazing thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. Let's tell them that this not only happened 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ died and rose again. Let's tell them he lives and he reigns in heaven. Let's tell them that Jesus Christ forgives sins today. Let's tell them that he speaks to the church today through his word and through the preaching of the gospel and through the witness of his living people who have the life of faith. He lives also, let's tell them, with his saints and angels in heaven. And one day he's going to come again, as he told us in John 5, verses 28 and 29, to raise the dead. And let's tell others, those who don't believe in him and die faithless are going to be raised to condemnation in hell. But those who confess their sins and repent and believe in Jesus Christ are going to be raised to eternal life, body and soul, by Christ. Oh, let's tell them, sinners, confess your sins. Believe in this Jesus Christ. And what a wonder, 2,000 years later, the risen Jesus Christ uses the testimony of his church to do just this, to save sinners. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, which gives unto us the ability to be witnesses of the most amazing wonder and event that has happened in the history of the world. Grant unto us, by thy Spirit, the faith to believe not only that Jesus is risen from the dead, but that he has paid for our sins, that he is living and reigning in heaven, and that he's making all things new, and that one day he is going to perfect the entire church. And Lord, strengthen us that until then we may, as long as we live here on this earth, be his witnesses, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.